Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address. Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the China Shop, home of the Band of Traders podcast. I am your host, Kyle, and joining me today, I've got honorary CEO Flary and Vonta Trading's Baba Yaga. For those of you who have been living under a rock, there's been some nasty weather in the Southeast, to say the least. And tonight, we're planning on getting some firsthand reporting from our boots on the ground, Baba Yaga. But before we kick all that stuff off, do you guys have any noteworthy banter stuff to talk about or anything to kick off before we start talking about the actual stuff today? Anything?
No, on a heater. Gave a little bit back in the Gelber contest.
You're on week two?
Man, I don't know, week four or something like that.
Yeah,
I was in the lead for about a week and a half, the second half. I've been in the top three the entire time, but now I'm in fourth even after. Dude, it's so funny, my red days would be like in first. If I just not traded, that's what, you know, obviously, but
whatever. Yeah. But you still got a couple more weeks of that before we can do the recap.
Yeah, a couple more weeks, so we'll have to get back in there. Been trying to give more attention to, you know, my personal trading and a handful of those accounts. Like the run I've been on has been pretty impressive. So, which of course it's like one good solid base hit a day, not oversizing and just quitting ahead and staying consistent. Well, shock. I had the best like 45-day run I've ever had in my entire life.
Good for you, man. Yeah. Too bad we're not doing a good, bad, and ugly today.
I think I just did it.
I think you did. I think you just nailed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Baba, I got a little clip for you that I've been saving that I think kind of sets the stage for what we're about to do here. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Dude, you don't have to run out in the hurricane with a chainsaw.
Right.
Wow.
I mean, just wait till the storm's over and then go back to doing what you were doing.
So, Baba, did you heed your own advice? That's the main question I got for you tonight. I saw a lot of downed trees.
So I did go out, I guess, technically when the hurricane was still, I guess, close. I mean, the wind was blowing from below me up at one point, but that was to connect the generator. So I didn't heed my own advice, but dude, it was kind of felt pretty necessary to go, you know, take care of business, bro.
Dude, so walk me through like everything that kind of happened. I mean, the last we heard from you was you were running out to go get some gas for your generator. And then next thing we hear is there's a tree on your house and inches of water.
Well, so I sent you guys all these pictures. They sort of document some of the highlights of the last couple weeks. So we can talk about those at some point.
Is it okay if I put those in the show notes too?
Probably not the ones of my child.
Yeah, I'll take those ones out.
But I think the others, I mean, one of them makes us look like the Clampets. but...
Is that the one with all the laundry?
I was just trying to capture the visceral nature of where we found ourselves. Yeah. It was very vulnerable, man.
Yeah, no kidding.
There was no real other option. I mean, you can put a couple of them in there. I mean, whatever. I trust your judgment.
Just yeah, don't I'll leave the family ones off. Yeah, you know me.
So we had a hurricane, and the funny thing, probably the one funny thing about this situation, so there is some silver lining, and I'd love to talk about some of that, but I'd also like to paint a picture of the reality. But one of the funniest things is my wife was saying, I have a really weird feeling about this.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you know, the storm like changed path pretty close to, like it was not projected to come through here at first.
Okay.
And then it kind of shifted. I don't really watch this stuff closely at all, but my wife was kind of tracking it. She was getting kind of nervous. And so like the day before, or I think the day before, so like that would be a Thursday, I believe, she was like, I'm really nervous about the storm. Like, is everything ready? And I was like, what? I mean, we don't have anything to get ready. It's not like we can button down the hatches and drop the anchors. Like, we're just here, you know?
Good, I mean,
we have food.
There.
We yeah. have, you know, we have food. We have, you know, water. I mean, I guess we're fine. And like, I had 10 gallons of fuel for my generator, which I thought was plenty. You know, lose power for a day or something. Mm-hmm. That was what I thought at worst case scenario. And little did I know that her feeling that things were going to, that she was, you know, nervous about was spot on. And, you know, that Friday really launched us into like a completely new existence for the last couple weeks.
Don't you hate it when they're that right?
I mean, she couldn't have been more right.
I know. It's so annoying.
But yeah, so you last heard from me, I was running out to get gas for my generator unsuccessfully. I did not do the whole fill both the cars with fuel and, you know, have all the fuel tanks filled. So,
bathtub full of water?
No, dude, of course not.
Water was the least of your concerns.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'll like fly a little high, and then if you want to know anything else, we can drop down and then we'll talk through some of the pictures. But,
yeah.
So basically what ended up happening is that Helene was unbelievable as far as devastation goes to the power grid for our part of the state of South Carolina, as well as probably like 7 other neighboring counties. And then additionally, there was enough road issues, bridges, even in our state, and large trees. You know, we live kind of in the country. Yeah. So a lot of trees and stuff. So a lot of roadblocks, a lot of debris in the road, a lot of roads washed out, a lot of bridges failed. So there was like later in the day, on the day the storm landed, and especially the next day, like everybody was like in full blown panic mode, right? So that like there was no, there were gas stations with, like, I drove for 3 hours one day right afterwards, or 2.5, trying to find a gas station that had fuel.
Right.
And like everyone you would go to, the line would be like a mile long. And if you, like I did one time, sat in that line, by the time you get up there, there's no, like, they run out before you make it to the gas station. Right.
So are they rationing everyone, at that point too?
Do what?
Are they rationing at that point? Like,
no, we don't believe in that. We just get as much as you want. Which so that was, so like my first like personal challenge or like mission was that we would not run out of gas, right?
Yeah.
Because gas, like generator equals everything in the house works like normal except running the HVAC and the hot water heater.
Mm-hmm.
So all the outlets work, fridge, freezers. Everything's microwave. Everything's chilling.
The Wii.
The Wii. We did not play Wii, bro. There was no Wii playing. This was not a Wii time. Unfortunately, we did play. Actually, that's how we found out downstairs had all the flood water or the storm water was from sending them downstairs to play Uno Attack.
Mm.
And they came running upstairs and said, there's a river down there. Cool. So,
dude, yeah. At what point did you realize that this was going to be worse than you had thought?
So when the tree hit our house, I was like, we've got a problem. And that was the morning when the storm was happening at like 7:30 a.m.
Not weed, Cleo.
Yeah, weed. Come on. So yeah, when the tree hit our house, this is a large tree. We're really fortunate both in like how it fell and how it landed on the house. But this was a very large hickory, big tree, which is the silver lining is that all of that wood is now under the back deck.
Going on the smoker.
Dude, that's some good wood.
Going on the smoker, baby. We actually, to like throw the middle finger to the hurricane, like 4 days in, once the tree was cleaned up, myself and my neighbor who comes into the story at some point, he and I, we took some of the wood and smoked a pork tenderloin.
Oh,
we smoked like 3 pork tenderloins for dinner one day. So I was like, screw you, Storm. We'll use this wood for good.
Nice.
So it was a real victory. So yeah, I knew pretty early on it was a big deal. As soon as the winds died down and the worst of like the rain and stuff was over, I just walked out on our street and I knew like, this is not just our street. This is going to be every street. And down our street was inaccessible one way. And then like every home, both directions, either had a tree on the house or a tree in the yard that was blown down. It looked like, you know, like you'd shot a bomb off down the road.
Good Lord.
So immediately I was like, whoop, we got a real problem, right? I'll finish the fuel story in a minute. So that morning as well, I just want to make sure we go sort of in order. So tree hits the house. Holy crap. Everything settles out. Go outside. This is a bigger deal than I thought. I don't have enough fuel to last as long as we're going to need to last for sure. And I immediately started thinking about other, like our friends around and stuff. So we're like calling people, are you guys okay? Are you guys okay? Whatever, whatever.
Cell phones working?
They were like, for calls, they would sort of work. And if you turned the cell data off and just send like SMS, no Wi-Fi, was gone.
Yeah, okay.
But like, if you turn off cell data and send a text, it sends it like old school.
Yeah.
Like
the ping for the tower.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So you could do that. So that's how we would send those and you would have to send it, like keep trying. And eventually it would send and, you know, cause it'll fail multiple times and it'll tell you that it's failing. And then eventually it'll get through. So you're just kind of like waiting your turn.
Believe it or not, my phone was not working the day after that morning after you guys got hit. Like my phone didn't work the whole day. I couldn't take calls in or out.
I think that was probably tied to all this, right?
Yeah.
Tree hits the house, freak out, outside's a mess. We send the kids downstairs because my wife and I were kind of just regroup a little bit, be like, okay, here we go, you know?
Get away from the trees falling part.
And then they run upstairs and say, our bedroom has a river. And I was like, oh, that's not good. So we go downstairs and that actually started like kind of the, like, then we were like, this isn't just like going to be kind of annoying. Now this is going to be like, we're going to have to like rally. Like we got to like put the boots on and make this happen. You know, like we can't just kind of chill until it's over. Like it became a very offensive, like, we have to make sure our people are okay. We have to, cause our, and I hate to say that like all of this stuff getting ruined downstairs, like prompted that, but it sort of did like that. That was what, like when the tree hit the house, I was like, man, this is a bigger deal. Go outside. I'm like, oof, this is not good. When downstairs flooded, I was like, this is like, okay, this is now like feels like a whole nother level. So
yeah,
we got, as best we could, stuff up out of the floor onto like tables and onto like the top of dressers and up in beds and all of this. But like in reality, like a lot of stuff got, you know, really messed up with the rainwater, all of the carpet. So it was a nightmare. So, but we got that to like what we felt at that time was a stable place. Mm-hmm. And then my next focus was like, okay, we've got to figure out fuel. Because we're going to be out of fuel for a long time. Because I drove just to the first station close to here, and the lines were like a mile both ways. And I was like, well, we got a problem. Then I thought, and I think appropriately, let me go further. Like, let me try to track a different angle into town, way down into town. And like, there's basically make a giant rectangle and check like the edges of the like – western and southern part of our county and then like loop back up. Mm-hmm. Hoping that somewhere in there, there was a pocket of normal. And so if there's a third level of realization that this was going to be a huge thing, it was after that loop. So many like roads were busted. So many times I had to turn around. So many, like, it was unreal. And so when I got back, we kind of puked and rallied, you know, like I got back feeling kind of defeated. I just drove a quarter of a tank of gas out to come back with no more gas. So, you know, I'm from the South, as you can tell. And if you're listening to this and you're not sure yet, the answer is yes. So I called a friend of mine and we started talking. He's like, well, my generator runs on propane. And I was like, well, that's awesome. Do you have any like random gas that you don't need? And he was like, because his truck is diesel. Mm-hmm. And he was like, dude, my boat is here and it's full. 35 gallons of fuel in the tank of my boat is full. He's like, dude, come over. You can get it. I was like, you think I can get to your house? So fortunately, some other guys had like cut some of the roads there. So I was able to navigate over there and spend like part of that next morning, like siphoning. I think we siphoned like 15 or 20 gallons out of the boat with like a little tube, you know?
Yeah.
And it was a huge win, right? And then I came back and siphoned the fuel out of my lawnmower, which was another like 5 gallons. And so then I felt like, okay, that crisis is finished. But then our house smelled horrible.
Oh God. Yeah. Once you get like that stagnant water in there.
About the time we finished the gas crisis 1.0, which was like into like Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, we have a real problem here. So then it was like demolition day. So like Saturday and Sunday, the rest of Saturday and Sunday, we demoed downstairs, pulled all the carpet, cut all the drywall. Downstairs was a den, a laundry room, the utility closet for the house.
You got that stripped down to the foundation now too.
Yes, like down to the foundation, down to the walls. And that window that's pictured, actually the big double window that's pictured with like the shovel and the spade leaning against it, that window, the bottom of that window, that's where like all the water actually came in. Like it came in through the seating of the window, like how the window is seated against the framing. Like there was just a river flowing out of that. Cool. So, and now I'm sure groundwater came in other places too, but that's like when the moisture and like the remediation guys came, like that was where all the wettest, that was where they felt it started as well. That's also where we saw the most water coming through. All that wood was like completely saturated around the frame of the window. So then the house smelled so bad that we had to like get all of that out quickly. So that became like the next mission. And then I think the undertone of the entire thing was communication with my wife's family, removed.
How'd you get the water out of there? Yeah.
Honestly, most of it was eventually. So it actually, it was almost like
just opened a door somewhere and then it drained.
No, well, a lot of it went into the garage and went under the door to outside. Yeah. But if you think of like a candle with a wick in it, how the oil will run up the wick, right, to the candle, that's pretty much how like everything made of wood and all of the carpet functioned. So the water started to go down in there. It was like 3 inches in there, but the water was just soaking up the walls. So there's another picture.
Capillary action. That's
there's another picture where you can see like about a foot up the drywall is there's like a line, like a discoloration. This is a picture with like a black trash bag in it. And then like that piece of drywall. And that's how far up the wall and up in the insulation and up in all the paneling, like the water soaked in just,
how much standing water was in there?
Like 3 inches. 3 inches in the worst of it. And then it planed off a little bit as it went further out into the den and stuff down there.
But it still sucked up that much, that high into your walls?
Oh, every wall.
Jesus Christ, man.
And the carpet was so heavy, dude. Like trying to get the carpet out, we had to. Oh, I thought we could just like roll up one or two big pieces. No, like we're cutting up like very small pieces, and me and a friend are like trying to carry them out. It was terrible. Like, and we smelled bad. Like we had that water all over us. It was. Oh. It sucked. I know. I will preface everything. All of this pales in comparison to what other people experienced, and I'm so keenly aware of that. That like I tell you guys about this so you know, like the story of the last 2 weeks, because we have hardly talked. But I am in no way saying like, oh, it's so bad for us. Well, feel no. pity for me. Like it's I can laugh about it. It sucks. It's probably gonna cost a lot of money.
Every conversation we've had, you've been nothing but talking about how lucky you guys got it.
I feel like we fared super well, and there's so much.
How far are you from Asheville?
Asheville is an hour.
Yeah, and that was like one of the hardest hit places in the country, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, this is your story, though. Yeah. Of true. The experience. So
yeah.
Yep.
I mean.
Yeah. So, Watergate, as we've affectionately, I don't know, Watergate was over for the most part. Once we got all that stuff out, the smell was much better. Okay. Remember the idea of someone losing their home, because that's going to play into this story. In a minute. Just don't let me forget to just help me remember to come back to that, because Cleo just said, you know, people who lost their homes. So just we'll remember. So Watergate was over with. And so we're so somewhere in this mix of the fuel adventure and Watergate, I realized that if you wake up, like I think the second day, you know, your body, like my body changed. And I'm not kidding. Like my what would you call it? Like your nervous system or like your survival instinct thing, like whatever. So like every day when the sun went down, like I was kind of ready to go to sleep. So like 8:30, 9 o'clock. And I would wake up at like 5:30 and like wide awake, knowing that there was so much to do. An incredible amount of stuff needed to be done immediately. And I realized that I woke up the first morning, or this, I guess it was the first morning after we had done the gas magic. Mm-hmm. I woke up at 5 and I was like, I wonder if there's a line at the gas station at 5 a.m. Like, probably not. So 5 a.m., I zip out. No line at the gas station, bro.
No shit.
Pull straight up to the pump, fill up my truck, zip home. It's like 2 miles. Take my wife's car, fill it up, bring it back. Take all my fuel cans, fill them up, bring them back. Then I'm like, it feels like I've won like a miniature war. I'm like, oh my God, like no worries about losing food. So we have like 4 months worth of meat in the freezers from the cows that we've butchered of our own, mm-hmm. as well as like we bought a bunch of meats from a few farms in a neighboring state. So like we have like pounds and pounds of chicken, pounds and pounds of beef, pounds and pounds, and it's all in freezers in the garage. And I was like, that, you know, I just didn't want to lose that. So that was like the big win, was like I knew that every day if I could wake up early, which I never set an alarm for, but I would just wake up super early, and whatever gas I had used that day, I would just go replenish 2 miles down the road.
Nobody ever got up before 6 to get gas?
I mean, I so towards the end, like I guess I say towards the end. So like, I don't know when we got power back, but I realized that like now I had plenty, like it was no need to do that every day anymore, because I could go a few days on what I had. So, and that that was such a good strategy that
such I didn't a good feel hack.
Like I didn't feel like I needed to do it every day. So I told my neighbors about it. Like, yeah. I'm like, hey, if you need gas, like wake up early, you'll be fine.
If you're in Florida right now, set an alarm.
You shouldn't have to. Your body should like kick in and be like, hey, look out. So the picture that makes us look like the clampids was a picture that I sent to someone to try to express to them how like you just think like regular life is that you dirty or soil something, you put it in the washer, then you put it in the dryer, and then you're good, right? Like, and that's not a problem to solve. But when almost all of your children's clothes got wet, as well as any clothes that were in baskets, like because all the baskets have holes in them, you know, like laundry baskets. So all of the clothes that were dirty got wet with that water. So everything stinks, right? So we get all the wet clothes outside, but then you realize that like these clothes are all going to ruin if we don't figure something out. So then we got like emptied Sterilite containers, put clothes in, filled it with water, put laundry detergent in, and like our kids would stir it and to agitate it with like a broom handle. And like our huge, like where the basketball goal is, of course it got beat all to crap during the storm, but like the where we parked the cars down there, because we don't really use the garage, they're too big for the garage, but they're just down there like stirring these four big bins, right? And then you let them rest and then you get them out, wring them out. And then I was like, how can we have to hang all these clothes? But like, this is so much clothes. So I found like a huge piece of paracord, tied it on a big tree and then like around the deck, and then laid it over that ladder, and then wrapped it around a telephone pole, and then pulled it tight with my wife's car so that we could put all this heavy wet laundry on it.
Use the car.
And it wouldn't touch the ground.
Yeah.
And you just think like, these are problems that 100 years ago weren't problems. It's just way life was.
Yeah.
And you realize how easy things are and how like fragile we all are. That the quality of life that we don't even appreciate. We almost think of having to wash clothes as like annoying, like, oh, I got to go take this laundry downstairs. But like, what's annoying is, well, it's not even really annoying. What's annoying is losing everything. But what's annoying is for us in this was like that we're having to stir our clothes with a broom handle and a bin at the end of the driveway to try to get the funk out of them and then like rinse them and hang them. Now, here's another cool like little win that I was like, gosh, I'm such a champion. I was built for a time like this, you know? Like I'm thinking like there's a story in the Bible where the this lady character comes through like in this big way, and like there's this verse that's like, you were fashioned for a time such as this. And I was just thinking like, I was built for a freaking hurricane, baby. I had like already conquered the, you know, the gasoline thing or whatever. And then we were like, gosh, we don't want to pour all this water. Like, we're done with water close to the house. So, like, we don't want to just dump this water out right here.
Right.
Also, that some of this water has, like, bleach in it because we did, like, a load of some stuff that needed to be bleached. Try to help it get clean or whatever. So, like, we don't want to kill all the grass. So how can we get the water out of these bins? They're really heavy to try to carry by myself or splash bleach everywhere. So I did the old get this. So if anyone ever needs to empty water out of something, take your hose, the hose that screwed into the spigot at the house, turn the water on, close the end of the nozzle that would normally spray, let that hose fill up with water till it starts spewing out at the top, turn it off, kink it, unscrew it from the house, take that and make sure that the end of it is downhill from wherever the water is that you're trying to empty, and then put that the hose that would – the end that would normally be connected to the house, put it in the bucket or bin you're trying to drain, and then go to the end that the spigot is – or that the spray handle is, which should be downhill, and open it. Gravity will pull the water down to escape, but it will create a vacuum – and it'll drain everything. It'll siphon everything out of whatever the thing is.
Yeah, you just got to prime the hose first. You're just using the hose to do
the
it for whole, you.
The priming yeah. the hose was yeah. filling it with water. Yeah, yep. So it's like the backwards way of priming a pump. So like I thought of that, and I was like, oh, my wife was like, I just, oh, this is going to be so. I was like, no, I've got it. And I was like, my son, you know, like he's 11. And I'm like, I'm about to teach you some things, boy. And I was like, drag the hose towards the woods, you know, like we're like yelling back and forth, like setting this thing up, and it worked so freaking well, dude, so well. And dude, so
one of the coolest things about listening to you talk about this and like the conversations we've had leading up to this night, all of it has been nothing but like a positive, like the spin you put on it. I haven't heard any stories of people acting shitty, hoarding, looting, any well,
I mean
of
I've got some of that if you want to hear it, but
okay, I guess we just can wait long enough.
No, well,
so, well, hang on, wait a minute. You still have to tie it back around to people losing their homes.
I will. That's coming. Okay. That's all coming. Right. That's coming for sure. I was just trying to think, like, I'll tell our story here, and then we can talk about what we experienced, where it's really where it's bad.
Yeah.
Because my story is, like, it's pretty lighthearted, and, like, you know, again, we fared well. We still had some stuff to happen, but like, you know.
When you look back on this event, it's not going to be something you look back on with anger, regret, fear. It's going to be something that you probably had got some actual fond memories out of. It kind of sounds like.
Yeah, we had some cool things. So, let's see. So, so that was how we managed laundry. So we got laundry sorted. Showers were just cold. You should take a cold shower. Because the generator, I'm going to buy a bigger one, but the one we had, I didn't ever anticipate being out of power as long as we were. So, but we had warm showers for like one day after, and then it was cold showers, which is still fine. Like you take a cold shower, it's just quick. Man. Very refreshing when you have no AC in the South and the humidity is like 900%. And so it kind of worked out. It kind of helped.
Larry, you'd probably be less likely to want to take a cold shower in Minnesota right now.
No.
Not so much?
Yeah, no.
In Haiti, it was always cold showers, but same problem. It's like, 800 degrees, so you're fine with it. But
yeah, like the cold shower thing, honestly, like...
You get used to it, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah.
To some extent.
So I think then it was the tree, like, here's where, like, where other people... So, like, we have such a great... Like, I realized how fortunate we were... I've always known that we're really fortunate with people that care for us, right? Like people that love us, and like we don't have a huge amount of friends, but the friends we have, they're like roots run deep, you know? Yeah. So guys are like rolled up. They're like, you know, you got a tree on your house, like a bunch of dudes rolled up and we just like did it, you know? Like we like got all that sorted, got it cut off, you know, got it all situated, helped me cut it up. I had a friend drive here from Tennessee. Because he knew that like grocery stores would be running thin on like on stuff, and and also just he like wanted to help, and he like does well for himself, and he's real handy with like a chainsaw or like building stuff or whatever. And so he was like, "Yo, I'm gonna drive down there. I'm gonna have to leave Tennessee, go around to Atlanta, and then come up 85 to get to where you guys are." It made his trip like ridiculously long, but 40 is like blown to pieces, right? So like how you would normally go is not even a thing. And so he showed up, like helped us work downstairs a ton, helped us work on the roof and everything, cutting everything off, getting it all sorted. It was just really neat. The guy that I borrowed, that we siphoned that gas out of his house, like we also, he and I worked together to get his generator connected to his house like that same day because some of the wiring was screwed up and he was like a little nervous about like blowing his whole house up, which I understand, but also like, I'm a little more like, you know, it'll be fine. That's kind of my attitude. So, but like, there was just all of this, like there were all of these like opportunities from my group of people for people to like hold on to things that they have or like reserve themselves or whatever. And they just did the opposite.
Yeah.
You know, like, I needed fuel. He could have held that fuel. He gave that fuel to me. He needed help with the electrical. Yeah. I could have just went home to my family. Instead, I stayed for a couple hours. We got that fixed. Like, he needed to find propane. We checked a couple places. I thought of one. I'm like, let's go here. Like, there was just this camaraderie where his problem was my problem and my problem was his. And that was true of a bunch of people.
It sounds like almost everybody kind of took care and some banding together to do it, but they took care of home base first. They made sure that like day-to-day operations for themselves, their family, the house, the structure, you know, whatever was taken care of. And I mean, I know some of the story, but it seems like then almost instantly once everybody got home base taken care of, whether it was solo or in this, you know, sort of like unity of, you know, tight friends, you guys all just started to go outwards and go, okay, I've got this under control. And you kind of get into a second stage of this story where you guys start like going, okay, if it's this bad for us and it just took us, you know, 3 to 5 days to get our home base under control, I know, you know, in this other area, the need is going to be significantly greater and I have capacity.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it would like, you know, knowing what you went through, it would have been a shame to not, you know, venture out and kind of go see what kind of help you could offer. And I think, you know, I mean, this part of the story is super cool. The next part is, I mean, it's amazing.
This is the kind of stuff I wish that it'd get highlighted more in the news, but well, they tend to focus more on the other stuff.
Yeah. So one more. So this story is a great bridge to the point you're making. So as weird as this may sound to some or whatever, but my wife and I have felt like we felt like for the better part of a year that we have a neighbor that is our geographical neighbor, meaning like directly across from us, but we had not been able to connect with him. He's a single older gentleman in his 70s. Both our neighbors on either side, we're so close to them. They're great, like homies, right? Like, yeah. My kids go play in their yard or go help them with yard work, like love them, right? And it's just wonderful. And through this, we were like very concerned for them, checking on them, like they were good. The neighbor across the way, we had just not figured it out. And this situation that we just went through gave us like the bridge to this man who we just knew a little bit about, but he had, you know, he'd lost his mom, he'd lost his wife, he'd lost his dad. He lives alone, no family around except for a sister. They're close, but not that close. And she lives like 30 minutes away. And so when the storm settled, everyone found themselves like five houses in each direction. All were just in the road talking like, are you okay? Are you okay? What do you need? Like, how's everybody doing? He came out there. And so we all started talking, and then like people headed back to their houses and he was still there. And so I just said like, hey, do you have a generator? He was like, no. I was like, well, you know, your fridge and freezer stuff will only be good for like 24 to 48 hours. Right. If you don't open it. So if we get to that point, you might want to bring all of that stuff to our house because we have a generator, fridge and freezer will stay cold. And he was like, oh, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. Well, wouldn't you know, we didn't have power for however long. I don't even know. It was a long time, a lot of days. And so he lost all his fridge and freezer stuff. And I don't think he had a huge supply of like, you know, food on the shelves. So I talked to him. It was actually 2 days in is when this conversation happened. And I was like, have you had anything to eat today? And he was like, no. And I was like, well, let's go eat. And so we brought him. And this is weird to say. So like, I'm not trying to say that we're the best people in the world. Like anybody with a heartbeat would have done the same thing. Yeah. So this is not like a I'm awesome story. This is just like highlights of some of the, you know, unexpected beauty that like hid on the backside of all of this.
Sometimes it's such a simple thing that you can do that can make such a huge difference in somebody's life. Yeah. And that's what's cool about the stories.
Yeah. So we invited him over. I mean, you can see in the pictures, he is like a man from the country.
Oh, that's the guy
with the suspenders. Okay. Yeah. Who's talking to Joe on the back
deck. Is that your dad?
No. And then like the guy that's standing at the road watching her play on her bicycle.
Yeah.
So what happened is I told him that whenever it was time to eat, so breakfast, lunch, and dinner, just to come to our house and we would eat together. We had plenty of food. Don't worry about trying to go fight the grocery store crowds and all of that. Just come be with us till this settles out. So we had breakfast, lunch, and dinner with this gentleman from across the road. I mean, almost every meal for however many days that we didn't have power. And then since then, we've had him over a couple of times just for normal dinner with like power and like, you know, lights. We had lights, but like life is more back to normal. The cool thing too is like the day that I asked him how to eat anything, he had spent that morning helping me remove paneling and drywall from downstairs. Like,
really?
I had said like, well, I'm going to go try to get to work on my downstairs because there's a lot of flooding down there. And he was like, well, do you want a hand? And I was like, well, you don't have to help, but you come hang out if you want. Because I figured he was probably lonely. And he was like, no, I'll come help a little bit. And so he helped, you know, like we like really connected, worked together that whole night, afternoon, ate together. And now he's like, calls me like, what you getting into today? Like trying to, you know, hitch a ride and hang out. Like,
man,
Joe really thinks he's like, his nickname, is Bear. So I won't say his real name, but that's his nickname. And Joe calls him Bear Bear. And like,
is it weird that I'm jealous?
No, it's fine. She still thinks you're great. She still thinks you're great.
She better.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen. And I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
But that was like a little sliver of silver lining on the home base of just like most immediately where we got to serve or like help someone. The coolest example of that was him. And just like the relationship that we have now with him compared to what it was before. So like the chance to care for him in ways and like, I don't know, man, it's just like it gets you outside of the little box of like, I wake up, I take a shower, I take my dogs on a walk, I jump on the call, I do the trading, I jump off, I manage some properties, and then I do my thing. Like this last couple weeks, like blew all of my normal out, but some of it got replaced with stuff that really I think matters a lot. And it was a great reminder to not be so self-oriented, you know?
Yeah. You got any examples?
Well, like the relationship with him.
Yeah.
Caring better for the people around, like making ourselves more available. Almost just like, I mean, I traded a little bit at the end of this past week. It was fine. I didn't like try to ape into anything, you know, but maybe eventually it'll be different. But like, I think I realized how much some stuff just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I think I realized that by realizing how much some other stuff matters a lot. And when life is easy and chill and you status quo, it's easy to just get like lulled into normal life is that's all it is. And when it gets blown apart, you really start to focus or like or get reacquainted with some of the things that you're that really matter to you and that are really important for like people around you. And so even like staring at the charts and trading, like it was just kind of, you know, again, I will get into a position or get into a situation where I'm all amped up and stuff, I'm sure eventually, but like currently, like looking at the charts, it's like so easy to be divorced from any emotion related to it. Cause in my mind, I'm thinking like, this doesn't matter that much at all in one sense, like in a really healthy way. You know, and that's like,
I hope this goes my way, but in the meantime, I'm going to go get some gas.
Yeah. I mean, not quite to that extent, but sort of, yeah, you know, yeah. Like, I mean, and the other thing is like the market truly will be there tomorrow. I've said that a million times, but like that sucker, I was gone for 2 weeks and it was the same thing. I came back to the same stuff.
The same balance, even almost.
Yeah. It was like, well, here we are. So I know we've like really talked a lot about my situation. Flary brought up a great point. So, and the story with my neighbor kind of springboards it out. So probably like 3 days in, maybe four, we realized that the damage and stuff that my family in North Carolina had experienced was like intense, like very, very mm-hmm. bad. So if you look at the picture with the red circle on it, there's two of them. One of them has the circle of the bridge that goes to my family's home. Completely washed out.
Oh, that's what that was?
Yeah, there was a bridge there.
There's not even a trace of a bridge there.
And no, there's not. And then there's another picture with a red circle of a home. That was the home that my wife grew up in. And that is totally inaccessible to her family now. There's no way to get to it. They did build like some local people built a bridge with trees and some lumber, but her parents are in their 80s. So like crossing that's not really ideal. Yeah.
what we had the chance to do, though, so we have a family farm that's just up from that, where those two rivers can converge. That's a real problem, that area, because you have one river catching all the mountain runoff from one, you know, mountain range one way, and then another one catching all the runoff from a mountain range the other way. And that area is like the bottom of essentially like a valley from two directions. If you could think of two valleys coming together, one valley is Highway 64, and then the other valley is Highway 74. So just past that junction is where Lake Lure is and where Chimney Rock is. A lot of people know Chimney Rock. That totally obliterated down through there. Very bad. Do not go joyriding to see storm destruction. It is incredibly counterproductive to rehab efforts on the part of locals and the county that's trying to fix roads. And that has been a huge problem up there. It's unbelievable.
Dude, just that's kind of fucked up anyway.
Yeah, people. I mean, I get the curiosity, but like, if you're not going to contribute, then don't go. And if you're not going to contribute to an organization or a person at this point, then probably don't go. Like early on, it was really important for people to rally in any way they could. But now, think most places, except further above Asheville and up into some of that, they're still in kind of a really bad situation. But the place that we immediately are connected to and have helped in is now kind of trying to build towards what does this new form of life look like for the next 6 to 8 months is probably what it'll be. But
Bubba, speaking of helping, do you want to give a shout out to that link that you tweeted out for where people can go to help?
Yeah, man, jump on my Twitter if you want to help. I don't really post a lot of likes. I don't post anything like this really ever. And I don't really get political or like government stuff. But yeah, I posted some thoughts in the thick of it that were probably a little sharp or edgy. But I had some experiences when we first started to help with some friends that was really unfortunate. Some help was desperately needed and couldn't get there because of red tape, mm-hmm. basically. But there's a link pinned in my Twitter and that church. Basically, the road is so bad and the road is already so small that partnering with any large organization to provide the relief that they would normally provide, so like Samaritan's Purse or like some big, you know, national organization, the infrastructure isn't there to support that type of resourcing. Mm-hmm. So that church is a little church on the hill. It's pictured actually in the picture with the red circles. It's the white building to the left. It's kind of like a little beacon of hope for all the people down there because that building is slam full of supplies and need, like can meet needs for the people. So food, water, clothing, like gas, propane, grills, generators, like they have distributed all that kind of stuff and are still ongoing. They're set up as the hub for that community because they're 20 minutes from like town. And a lot of people still don't have easy access to their homes. Like my in-laws are still not, they're still displaced. And a lot of people can't. They have no way to get a vehicle to a road to try to get to like somewhere 5 miles away, you know, so that they can at least kind of walk there to get what they need day in and day out. Now that was set up this past. So last Tuesday, we worked with a team and took like 20 vehicles in and just absolutely just stocked the heck out of that place, which was awesome. Basically turned like a dining hall into a store for free. Like everything mm-hmm. is free. So what happened is, so our farm is back away from that junction, but still it was obliterated. Our pasture's full of sediment, our horses, no fencing, whatever. My in-laws are 80 something years old, freaking out that the horses are going to cause someone to die. That's all they can talk about. They're not in their own home. They're not in the farmhouse because no one's lived in the farmhouse in 10 years. It became storage. So they're not in the farmhouse at the farm. They're not in their home. They're in someone else's home. And all they can talk about every time we talk, morning, afternoon, night, whenever we can get a call through, they're just like, what are we going to do about the horses? They're going to get hungry. They're going to roam. They're going to cause a car wreck. So way early on in this whole deal, like a few days in, me and my neighbor, the man across the road, we call a friend of mine. We get a horse trailer. I borrow this massive truck from another friend of mine, like a brand new truck, by the way. Like when I got up there to drive down the road, I was like, oh God, we're going to put this thing in the river because there's so much of the road was gone. If you look at some of the pictures as you scroll up, like those are pictures out the window of a car. Like that day, I didn't drive the truck all the way in. I actually drove the truck past almost all of that, but I didn't take pictures because I was trying not to die. But my wife was in that car, taking those photos. And that is the only road, like basically that connects from like town to like where all these people live. And that's what was left of it. So one of the first things we tried to do for my in-laws to like take pressure off them was to go like find the horses, get the horses corralled and bring them to a pasture that another friend of mine has. And again, like you heard the word friend of mine like four times. The guy I borrowed the trailer from, I've never met in my life. And he was like, yeah, go ahead. That's fine. Take it. Take it to a road that looks like that and go try to find your horses and bring them back so your in-laws don't have a stroke in the middle of this insanity. And like, just again, like they could have been like, no, I'm not letting you take this up there. That's like a war zone, right? Right. So that's why there's pictures of the horses happy at this other farm and like me cuddling Shadrach, who the cool story about him is like no one thought, like no one had ever ridden him. And then I was like, he's rideable. Not lately, but like a couple of years ago, like I went up to the farm and worked with him for a day, rode him all around. It was a good time. So I was happy to get them back because they had nothing to eat and there was no fencing left. The river that divided the corral and the barns from the pasture is now like five times bigger than it was before. That river that you see in all of that open space, a lot of those photos you could never have taken before because there was like woods and trees right down to the edge of it, but it blew its banks out so far. And like our field, unfortunately, was a huge sediment and debris deposit. And so the horses were, I mean, they were fine. They weren't going to die then, but like it wasn't sustainable.
What's it take to clean up that kind of mess?
Dude, I worked up there all day today. It's going to take a lot.
Jeez.
You used to be able to drive like a normal pickup truck across the river at our farm. It was really shallow and docile. And now there's like rocks the size of a truck, like in the middle of it. The banks are 12 feet steep instead of like being just a little grade down to the water. It's insane. So like, again, like me and my neighbor, we roll like a rescue trip for the horses. And then a couple days after that, we got power back, which I was like, oh my gosh, we have power. And then I called my parents. I had been talking with them and I knew that they had a generator that they were able to run their refrigerator on. But I also knew that they'd been moving that generator to like two other people each day to try to keep their fridge and freezer from thawing out and losing all their food. So they were working and trying to help people. So as my power came back on, I called my dad. This goes to Cleo's question about people who lost their whole home. I called my dad and I said, hey, I just moved my generator to a lady that lives close to me who still doesn't have power. She's on a well. And so with no power, that means no water.
No water, yeah.
And she has kids at home. Her husband sucks massively, left her with five kids a few years ago. It's just a sad story. She's doing great now, but there's no man, not that a woman couldn't, but there was no one there to.
There's no help.
There was no help for her in this like mechanically minded, you know, problem solving way. Like, let's go fix a problem. There was no one for that. And so she was just like making it, you know? And so we took my generator, hooked it up, and we're having issues getting the well to work. So I called my dad and I was like, hey, I know y'all got a lot going on, but my parents are also serving. My dad is a pastor. So surprise, surprise, for those of you that didn't know. And so he had his congregation, like he's trying to check on everyone, keep everyone safe, like try to help with supplies and whatever. And his generator broke like the next day as well, which was really bad timing. But I called him and I was like, hey, would you be willing to come up here and help me fix this for unnamed lady who lives not far from here, but it was where she lives. It was pretty bad there. No, not thinking they're getting power soon. He was like, sure, I'll bring my friend who is super handy with that kind of stuff. Cause if you can't figure it out, I probably can't figure it out, but he can. The guy that came and drove an hour and 15 minutes to help pick up or help connect and figure out a water situation for my friend at her house, he lost his house completely in the storm. So you think of like
still out there helping
and he leaves his family with my mom at her house or at my parents' house and drives with my dad an hour and some change to crawl under a house and try to help us hook up a generator to help this woman so she would have water.
Dude, I can relate to that though, because it's either that or you sit at home and feel sorry for yourself. At least you can go out and like help or do something. Like at least it makes you feel like you're taking charge of the situation rather than just having it happen to you.
Yeah, but like, yeah. And so like that's like the heart of people like that are what this area is largely comprised of. And that's one of the reasons I love where I live and love the people here. So my neighbor, my 70 something year old neighbor, myself, my dad, and a guy who lost everything in the storm are trying to figure out this generator for this lady. Well, when I'm talking to my dad, I find out their generator's messed up. So now I feel really awkward,
right?
Because I'm giving my generator to someone who, I mean, I love her, but like that's my parents. Well, her power comes back on the next day.
Mm-hmm.
She calls me like first thing in the morning. She's like, yo, power's back on. And she doesn't know how to unhook the generator and everything. I was like, I'll come get it. And then I was like, I called a couple of other buddies who I knew had generators in there. I was like, do you have power? And they're like, yeah. I was like, okay, do you have power? Yeah, yeah. So we took like four or five generators, including mine, and we drove them back to where my parents live. And we dropped five generators off with them so that they could turn their house and save their stuff and also disseminate them to other people who needed them. And it'll hit you a different kind of way when you show up to your house and your mom is eating an MRE.
Yeah, no shit.
It's like, what the freak is going on? And so when we're dropping off the generators, I see that and I'm like, do y'all have food? And they're like, yeah, we have food, but like, you know, it's just with the power being off and da da da, it's like, this is just easier and, you know, whatever. And I was like, and they're like, all the grocery stores don't have anything down here. And the problem with where they lived is the power grid there ran from like multiple substations to get power to their town. They don't live close to where it's produced. And all of those substations are screwed up. So they have to fix all of those. They're at like the end of the line, right? So the cool thing was, so my mom, I was like, well, I'm going to put one of my friends gave me this huge generator that would power like everything. My parents didn't have water because they were on a well. So it would power the well. It would power the hot water heater. It would power everything but the HVAC. So like the whole house, we wired it up. My dad had a plug. Oddly enough, he had a generator plug, just not a generator big enough to actually hook up to it, which is a whole nother thing. Like, come on, dad. But so we hook that up, fire it up. Well, my mom is upstairs showing my neighbor, who again, 70 something year old man, helping me with this project. We took 70 gallons of gasoline, 200 pounds of propane, and like multiple generators to my family down there. My neighbor, who's 70 something, helping me load them and unload them. It was like, again, beautiful, right?
Yeah.
We unload those. We hook my mom and dad's house up. And my mom is upstairs showing off some of my dad's like craftsmanship on like this one room that because they built the house, and he's like, my neighbor's all into it. So I walk in and like flip on the light. I was like, mom, we got the generator hooked up. She's like, oh, that's great, honey. And she's like, where do I need to move the extension cords? And I was like, no, not like that kind of generator. And I like flip the light on and I was like, you have hot water and like, you can wash clothes. And she just like grabbed me and starts crying. And she's like, it's just been so hard, wow. You know? Wow. And it was like such a cool moment because we could have just not done the kind thing, you know, but why would you not, you know, what an opportunity to like share. And my friends who gave me, I mean, I just like went to people's houses. They're like back at the office and stuff. They're like, let me know when you get there. I'll open the garage for you. You can grab it. Or like every one of them that I picked up had a full tank of gas and a gas can with it that was full.
Just sitting out there ready to be picked
up. And said, yeah. Take it. Yeah, take both with you. So we were able to like help them. But when I noticed that like the food situation seemed a little dicey, and then my mom was like, she's like, hey, when you go out, will you take this bag to the people that live two houses down? It's just some food and stuff that I want to send to them because they have a newborn, like a baby. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm taking food from your house to theirs? Then you're eating an MRE. Something doesn't dial up here, but okay. So we dropped that off. Super sweet couple, super thankful. And then I was like, we need to do something about this down here. So I call another friend of mine who I knew had been running donations to Swannanoa, near like north of where we've been helping in the Lake Lure Chimney Rock area. And I know we're running over, but I'll try to wrap it up. But he was like, what do you need? And I was like, I don't know, man, like food, you know, baby diapers, wipes, hygiene stuff, like what people need in the crisis like this. And he was like, oh, well, I've got 3 pallets of that at my office. And we've already packed the vans to take them to North Carolina. So if you can get here in 15 minutes, we'll just load it for you. So that night after we got back, we went to his office, loaded my truck completely with, actually we loaded my friend's truck because I had to fit all the generators. I had to take a bigger truck. Mm-hmm. We loaded that truck completely, backseat, the whole back, with all kinds of stuff like dog food, cat food, people food, diapers, wipes, like hygiene stuff, toothbrush, I mean everything, because some people lost everything. Then the next morning we drive back to my parents' house. We unload all this stuff at their church and set it all out so that people could come get it. And within an hour of dropping it off, someone like needed dog food. And the exact brand that we brought was the brand that they were already feeding their dogs, which I just thought was really, really cool. And then a lady came in looking like needing diapers. And like we had just unpacked like 12 boxes of diapers. And like my parents were able to care for her. And they have since obviously distributed all that. And then that conversation with my friend who'd been taking stuff to Swannanoa, like kind of sparked an interest that like he has so many business connections. So I was like, hey, I found out that my wife's, that was right around the time that they were setting that church in North Carolina up to be a hub for that community. Mm-hmm. And I was like, they sent me a supplies list. Any chance you have any more of this kind of stuff? I crap you not. I sent him the list and he's like, oh, I have 3 pallets of exactly that stuff again that just got delivered to my office after we packed the vans. Come get it. So again, we go over there, fill that completely. And then like, so the next day we went, or 2 days later, we went to my wife's family's, that neighborhood or that community, and we're able to like offload all of that stuff. So every day there's been some adventure tied to delivering something, returning something, picking something up, dropping something off. Every day since the storm has happened, it's just been like, and it's not like, oh, I just want to do all this good for people. I mean, I do think that's right. But there's also this awareness of how important it is right now for people to care for folks. And like, you just see it immediately how much it means and like how important it is that people are doing stuff for other people. And, so yeah, we've been super fortunate to be connected to all these outlets to be able to do that. I've been like a conduit because I have so many connections to people and so many different friends in different places. And so many people, I mean, people through Twitter have donated to, mm-hmm. to stuff. It's been unbelievable. some guy from Texas I've never met donated a sizable amount of money to like my parents, the relief fund that they set up at their church for their community. It's just been so cool to see how, you know, what little platform I have can be used, but then also personally, like the relationships that I have, can all of that can be leveraged in a moment to like, you know, to like fix a need. When we went, this is the last story I'll tell you.
The network feels like a small thing, but its reach is much bigger than you ever imagined, I think is kind of the point you're making there. Huh?
Yeah, dude. I mean, so when we went to North Carolina to drop off those supplies, we were keeping an eye on some Facebook pages just to see if there's needs that we can meet immediately. It's amazing what you can do with a few phone calls to like change someone's status of living.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a bunch, there's been like a handful of cool things from that. But one of the coolest one was there was a lady who posted, and this is happening a lot and not as much now in this area, but she's like, I have my best friend lives, and I didn't send pictures of this, but it's a 5 mile long road up a mountain that's not paved. At the very top, my friend lives there. I lost communication with her five days ago, and none of her family has heard from her. None of us have heard from her, and we don't know if she's okay. She's older. We don't know if she has supplies. We don't know if she's even like, we don't know if she's okay.
Yeah.
So she posted that. People like said a bunch of random stuff. I messaged her directly and just said, has anyone confirmed for you that your friend's okay? I don't know these people. And she's like, no one has been able to confirm that for me. And I was like, well, tomorrow you will know, because I'm going to be in that community with a side-by-side, and come hell or high water, if I have to run from the police or whatever, like we will find out if your friend is okay. And so it was just neat to be able to close that loop for her.
Who was okay,
had a medical check from the they did wellness and medical checks on that road and another one very similar the night before.
Mm-hmm.
Delivered supplies and made sure that everybody was okay. The local fire department did, and they brought EMTs with them, so she was fine. And it was so cool to send that message to that lady and be like, your friend's okay. She just doesn't have power and her phone's dead, but like she's good. She's got all she needs. She's fine. Let the family know, whatever. But like when I say that, like things that are important or like the gravity of certain things has changed, like when you go into a situation where you have someone's name written on your hand in Sharpie and like screenshots of a map to try to get to where they are to make sure that they're fine. Now, I didn't have to go all the way up the mountain. I was able to get the information another way through connections we had at the local fire department. So I didn't actually have to traverse the mountain, mm-hmm. but I was planning to, if we mm-hmm. weren't able to get the information another way, but fortunately we were. But like something about writing that down on my hand, actually with two other names that I don't have time to tell the stories, but two other situations where it was like, it's important. It's very, very, very important that we confirm that these situations are fine and no one else has done that. And so like now that is my job for today. And in addition to delivering these supplies, like I will not leave this area until I can mark these names off my hand, you know, like when that's what you're doing, like in an afternoon, it changes, like taking a 20-point stop or whatever, like just somehow doesn't matter as much, you know?
Dude, that is, I think that's about a great place to end this. Unless you have any final thoughts, Flary or Baba or anybody in the chat.
You connect with my partner yet?
I haven't heard anything yet. I don't know. He may have called Paul, but yeah, okay. I will just say that like Flary has been a resource through this, and not to like, we can leave the details, but like, he's been just kind, even just as a friend to like check on us, but also, and you guys have too, but also just like, I don't know, man, like that's been cool. There's connections being made. Like he's like putting blocks together for us. There's been multiple folks on Twitter, I couldn't try to name them, who have DM'd me. Like, you know, after you make a donation, you get like the success thing, like, thank you for donating, whatever. Mm-hmm. It doesn't tell the amount, but like
just letting me know, like they're just letting me know, hey, we're helping, like we're sending this, like my buddy in town who has that business. Again, like so many things have happened through connections that we have, either through like my trading world here or through just like regular life with friends that I have, and to have seen them, like everyone kind of rally, has been really cool, man. And like, yes, I have some like frustrating stories I could tell. And like, even today, like I just wanted to like knock someone's teeth completely out of their mouth over a situation that ultimately got sorted. But the point is like, even in, I would go through any of the frustrations 10 times over, you know, to be able to make sure that like people are okay, things are getting where they need to get. And I don't know. It's like, I told my wife, it feels like a watershed type moment for the way our life is, you know, like it's really, and the last thing I'll say, and then I'll be done, is there were so many days where I left in the morning and came back at like almost dark from what felt like running missions, you know, which they sort of were missions. I mean, and travel is, even though like, you know, travel is so complicated because you have to reroute a lot of stuff. So like everything takes 30 minutes longer to get, you know, from point A to point B right now. And my wife has been like such a champion through all of this. You know, not that she was neglected, again, because like to Flary's point, like you make sure that our home base is good and then we rallied for everyone else. But like, so like our home base was good.
Let's also not forget all the stuff she was taking care of, so you could get out there and do all this stuff.
Exactly. But she was absolutely holding the fort down while we were, and that created a pathway for me to be freed up to just take my gifts and talents and skill set and connections and run wide open with it for the benefit of like so many other people. And, you know, that would get overlooked. Like my wife basically keeping everything here from flying apart and our kids from like, you know, climbing a power line in the front yard that laid there for 10 days. So
Jesus.
Super appreciative of that. And honestly, like I'm glad to share this story, but I bet there's, I've said the phrase 5,000 more, like a million, like so many times, like when I faced something difficult and try and had to navigate it, I've said like, there's 5,000 more people having this same problem right now. Yeah. But when we've taken generators to like help with a few people or something, that's like a drop in the bucket. And I'm just so keenly aware there's like more than, but I've just said like, there's 5,000 more people who this didn't happen for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, except, but you help one person, that person is more likely to help somebody else. And it's daisy chains. It expands like ripples.
You become keenly aware of what you think would be a small help, or like, oh, if I, you know, if I go bring this person one case of water, like, you know, like what you think might be like rather insignificant is the catalyst for someone to get their stuff in order to be able to kind of do what you did. And it's, as someone who's been to like, you know, not obviously through this, but like been in that, like, this is do or die. If I don't get this kind of situation, like we're giving people, sort of that relief. Like it's wild how easy it is to underestimate the small things to the person that you're bringing it to. And you know, it might not be, you might not have the helicopter dropping and, you know, getting people out and all that stuff, but like that generator, you know, that was a you know, relatively do or die thing for that specific small subset of person that you were helping. But it's crazy how it's
a beautiful,
like,
thing.
Once you get out, you get out there, you start helping these folks and really getting into it. Like it's small, big, medium, doesn't really matter. Like, it's just like getting in there and doing what you can. Is significant.
It's big to somebody else. I bet the guy giving up his trailer, that probably felt like nothing. Yeah, what am I doing with the trailer?
Dude, the guy filling up the generator before you picked it up and the tank of gas next to it. You know, it's like all that little stuff starts to add up and add up and add up. And then, you know, suddenly we just start to like make a little progress in the thing. So,
well, Baba, thank you a ton, man, for opening up and sharing this. And thank you for keeping it so positive too, man. I was... I know you're not the type of person to make something negative, but I think there is probably a temptation to focus on the other side of this.
Yeah. Well, for sure. Like, I will say, if you look at my Twitter, you'll see some things that I said early on that were frustrating me. And those things were real. And that was a real issue. But it's almost like the people rallied almost in spite of some of that, which I think was the more compelling story to tell, mm-hmm. especially tonight. I mean, and then the only other thing I'll say, and I know that Florida is now dealing with the fallout of a pretty bad storm as well. And so, you know, I live nowhere close to that, but, and I'm not saying if you don't live close to something, you shouldn't care, but like, we're still putting life back together from the one that we just went through here. And I don't know, I don't watch the news or coverage, but I do talk to people who don't live in my, like, this tri-state area of like Atlanta or like Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina. But so I talked to a lot of people outside of that. And I'll just say that, like, as bad as you could imagine something being for a region, like, it is that bad here. Mm-hmm. Like, and in North Carolina, it's still that bad, like, still now. Like, it's the further up you go, because of the way this thing, the storm turned or whatever, how the something about how it spins and where it settled up there and stuff, like, it's still it's unbelievable. Like, if you're not aware, or like if you haven't heard or something, or if you thought like, oh, little storm, like I had someone say, I mean, did the hurricane hit you guys or what? And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? But like, they had no idea. So just know that, like, if you could just imagine what you've seen in footage from Katrina when that happened, this is, my friend lived through that. She was in high school then, and the first part of she was not quite in college. And then she actually was a roommate of my wife, and we reconnected and went to take supplies together to my wife's family community there. And she was like, oh my gosh, like, she's like, this is that bad, if not worse. The level of devastation that is there, she was blown away. And so I think it's important from the standpoint of like, just awareness that like this part of the country, that part of the state, that stretch of state of the state of North Carolina is still really in the thick of trying to recover from something that will take a year they won't even fully recover. Then people won't have power for 4 or 5 months.
Holy shit. Really?
In some places, I would not be surprised. Yes.
Wow.
Just as an example, there was a stretch of 4 miles where every single telephone pole had to be replaced. Every one of them for 4 miles straight. And you know, telephone poles, I mean, power poles aren't that far. I mean, they're far apart, but not that far apart. So you think of how many that is, to the point where the supplier of telephone poles actually ran out. They had to source them somewhere else.
Did you tell me you had a hickory one they can make?
Yeah, geez, I got a huge one. I actually cut it up for firewood already, thankfully. But I appreciate y'all letting me share, man.
No, Baba, thank you for sharing it.
No, you're an amazing dude, man. Way to take care of the family and the community, dude. Really good shit.
And if anybody wants to help out, I'll post those links to the one that your father's doing. If there's any others that you want me to post, just send them to me before this goes out I'll probably post this on Monday.
Cool.
But until then, guys, like, share, subscribe, tell your friends. If anybody's curious about what they can do to help, like, this is, I think, a great blueprint for how to leverage your connections and how you can do, even little things can add up and make a big difference.
Good stuff, guys.
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only, does not constitute financial or investment advice, and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations.
Produced by China Shop Productions.